In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On March 16, 1978, the Hakulea, a traditional Polynesian voyaging canoe, departed from Honolulu on a 30-day trip from Hawaii to Tahiti. For those of you who have seen the Disney movie Moana, you'll have an idea what it looked like. The Hokulea was the crown jewel of the Polynesian Voyaging Society, which sought to recreate traditional Polynesian seafaring techniques and celebrate that cultural history. The ship had made the voyage from Hawaii to Tahiti 2 years earlier, but on this day in 78, they were trying a slightly different route, and things didn't go as well. Bowing to pressure from the press and political officials, they set sail in questionable conditions. And 5 hours later, they got struck by a large wave and capsized about 12 miles south of the island of Molokai. The crew hung on to the vessel overnight, drifting farther and farther from land. Their flares weren't seen, their rescue calls were undetected. On board, as a member of the crew that day, was Hawaiian surfing legend and lifeguard Eddie Aikau. Eddie had made a name for himself by surfing with glee the biggest waves on Oahu's famous North Shore, and by being a fearless lifeguard who would rescue any swimmer or surfer from any situation, no matter how dangerous. While he served as lifeguard of Waimea Bay, the epicenter of the North Shore high surf, he made over 1,000 rescues, and not one life was lost. In 1971, he was named Lifeguard of the Year for all of Hawaii. And the phrase, "Eddie would go," became an island refrain, referring to the fearlessness and selflessness of this humble Hawaiian surfer. As morning dawned with no rescue in sight and the capsized vessel floating further and further from shore, Eddie convinced his crewmates to let him take his surfboard and paddle for land. He figured he could make the 12-mile swim, though by now it was probably much more, to the coast of Lanai on his board. But he eschewed a life vest as it inhibited his ability to paddle. And so with a prayer on his lips and aloha in his heart, off went Eddie into the Pacific, swimming for land, looking for help. He was never seen again. The rest of the crew was spotted about 9 hours later by a passenger jet, and soon the Coast Guard had them all safely home, all except for Eddie. Planes and boats and helicopters searched the ocean for days, but they never found him. He was lost in that great blue abyss that was the source of his glory and his ultimate resting place. And now he lives on as hero, island legend, and inspiration to all who brave those beautiful but formidable waters on that island paradise. Today in the church, we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. It's not an official feast day, but the image of Jesus as our shepherd has proved lasting and important enough to focus on it the same Sunday of the Easter season every year. It's a beautiful as well as formidable image. Beautiful in the comfort we get from Jesus tending to our lost souls, like lost sheep, and formidable when we are challenged by the author of 1 John to follow his example and, like Eddie, that good shepherd of the sea, lay down our lives for one another. The question of today is how we might become good shepherds and not be content to remain good sheep. Jesus offers us a starting place for how to make this shift. It all starts with care, with love, unsurprisingly. Unlike the hired hand, the good shepherd cares for his sheep. He loves them. And he cares for them, Jesus says, because he knows them. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Love is not an emotion that flourishes in the abstract. It is grounded in firsthand knowledge, in interpersonal experience. Love grows on contact. It is rooted in interaction, and it is from that branch that sacrifice blossoms. For example, I have never met anyone from Kyrgyzstan. You may have, but I have not. I'm sure that there are good people in Kyrgyzstan who could benefit from my attention. I believe they are all children of a loving creator and they deserve to live good lives. But I can't claim to care as deeply for them as for other people I know more personally. That's just our human nature. But I did have a childhood friend who grew up in Mexico. And we were very close. One year, we even went and visited with him and his extended family down there. And now, for the rest of my life, even though I have lost touch with him and I haven't been to Mexico in decades, I care when I hear about the difficulties and the struggles of the people there because I can imagine those struggles in living color, not some gray, abstract reality. The same principle applies on a much smaller scale. People in the abstract are hard to love and easy to ignore. That goes from people from Weymouth as much as from Kyrgyzstan. We care about people when we know them, and we expand our circle of caring by expanding our circle of knowing. And the more we are able to care about people, the more we would be willing to make sacrifices to help them. Now, what makes this tricky is that we can only know so many people and thus only come to care about so many people, and there are more people out there who need our help. Jesus had the ability to know and care deeply about people he hadn't even met yet. It was one of his divine attributes. There are other sheep who don't yet belong to this fold, he says, that he is also committed to laying down his life for. But we are not so divine in our heart's capacity. So if we really want to be good shepherds and expand the size of our sheepfold, we have to be willing to help people before we care about. If we sit here waiting for each of our individual hearts to be stirred, we're going to be sitting here for a while. I think that's why the author of 1 John says this, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. For how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help?" He recognizes that while Jesus may have been able to care about everyone in an emotional as well as practical way, the early Christians couldn't depend simply on feeling to drive their loving actions. We are far too small-hearted for that. This is a much less squishy emotional love. It is love as a duty, as an obligation. It's love as a command, not a feeling. If you are a Christian, especially if you are a Christian who has the world's goods, to help a brother or sister in need is your job. Whether you like it or not, whether you like them or not. Now, in our contemporary culture, feeling is often cited as the motivating factor in our decisions. That can have its benefits, but also its drawbacks, because our feelings can be fickle and narrow. So, while it may sound blasphemous to our modern ears, I think 1 John is saying this: I don't really care if you care. God has given you a command to love one another by helping one another, and we are to obey his commandments. I'm pretty sure that as big-hearted as Eddie Aikau was, he didn't care in the emotional sense about those 1,000 surfers that he pulled from the waves. He didn't need to know their names before he dove in to save them. And I'm not even sure how well he knew his crewmates on the Hokulea that he offered to swim off and try to save, as he was new to that crew. Instead, he saw a brother or sister in need, and he helped. It was that simple. He knew that to love, to be a good shepherd, was first a duty, and then, hopefully, an emotional connection. Doing the loving thing was what mattered. Fulfilling that obligation to love in truth and action was what Eddie was about. Eddie would go, is the phrase, not Eddie would care. If we wait until we care deeply enough about everybody to lay down our life for them, whether that's a metaphorical or literal laying down of our life, it's going to take a while to get moving. Because our hearts and our hands are only so big, and try as we might to expand them, we are never going to have the innate emotional capacity of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. For us, to be a good shepherd is to see a brother or sister in need and to help them. That's what it means when we say we walk in love. How I feel about them is secondary. And actually, if we want to care, if we start by helping, the caring will follow. In 2004, the Hawaiian Senate declared March 17th Eddie Aikau Day. And in the resolution marking that day, they said they honored Eddie not just for his heroism, but also for his preservation of the aloha spirit. Now, Native Hawaiians often get a little miffed that modern parlance has watered down the concept of aloha somewhat. It's not just the word you use for hello, goodbye, and I love you. It's an orientation towards the world. It's an open-hearted embrace of your fellow human being. It means treating others as your family, whether you know them or not, whether you have an emotional connection to them or not. In that sense, Eddie was the personification of aloha. And I like to think that if Jesus had ever made it from Palestine to Hawaii, he might have embraced aloha as a better encapsulation of what he meant by being the good shepherd than simply love. For like the love that Jesus embodies and calls us to, aloha is not an emotion, it is a state of being. That is why you greet and bid farewell with aloha on your lips. It pours forth from your heart. Your emotions may catch up. You may actually come to feel love for every person you meet. That is a holy state to exist in. That is the state Jesus existed in. But until then, we are called to love in truth and action, not just in thought and feeling. There is too much pain and sorrow and injustice out there for us to sit by waiting for our hearts to be stirred. So while you're going about that long-term work of cultivating your inner aloha, grab your surfboard and head out into the crashing waves of the world, bringing the good news of God in Christ and a commitment to help end the suffering that is around us. That is how we can become good shepherds and not just be good sheep. That is how we love. Say it. Yes. Feel it. Yes. But really, just go and do it. Amen.